You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
There may be more to the Bangladesh bank hack than met the eye as reports of the possible compromise of Swift client software appear. The U.S. Defense Department says it's dropping cyber bombs on ISIS. SecureWorks' IPO hasn't popped yet. Analysts think this means industry unicorns will have to wait longer and show some profit before their exit. Not everyone's buying the gray hat story about how the San Bernardino iPhone was accessed, and the U.S. Department of Justice says it won't need Apple's help on that New York phone. They've got the passcode. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Monday, April 25th, 2016. Remember February's hack of the Bangladesh bank? That was a cyber heist that cost $81 million before alert proofreaders at Deutsche Bank metaphorically smelled a rat in a misspelled word. That hack appears to have broader and more disturbing implications. BAE security researchers warned early this morning that those behind the attack may have succeeded in compromising SWIFT, the Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication, whose platform is used internationally to manage interbank transactions. Specifically, BAE believes the attackers modified client software called Alliance Access to alter a database that logged bank transactions. The modification was designed for stealth. The hackers not only altered Alliance Access to remove records of fraudulent transactions and manipulate balances in databases, but also prevented those transactions from being printed in SWIFT's tracking center. The malware installed in the system was also capable of intercepting and destroying incoming messages, confirming the criminals' funds transfers. The episode shows extraordinary attention to detail in manipulating the target's environment to cover the thieves' tracks. It's worth noting that the malware affects Alliance Access software only, and not SWIFT's network or core messaging services. SWIFT has established what it calls a facility to help customers enhance their security and find inconsistencies in database records. Authorities in Bangladesh continue their investigation into the incident. A team from that country's Forensic Training Institute believes it's found the criminal's access point. The Bangladesh bank was using second-hand network switches, reportedly without firewalls, to link its systems. Those systems, in turn, were connected to SWIFT. The second-hand switches are said to have cost $10 each, a case of false economy if there ever was one. In cyber war news, the U.S. Army has found exploitable vulnerabilities in its WinT Increment 2 mobile tactical network. The nature of those vulnerabilities is naturally unspecified, but fixes are promised, as is enhanced user training. The U.S. has grown increasingly open about its conduct of cyber operations against ISIS. Deputy Secretary of Defense Robert O. Wark has said, quote, "We're dropping cyber bombs. We have never done that before," end quote. The computer network attacks are designed to disrupt ISIS messaging, command and control, and administration. All of this, of course, is also intended to undermine the terrorist group's ability to attract followers, who would lose confidence in ISIS security and fear personal exposure. And, as the New York Times puts it, quote, "rattle the Islamic State's commanders who have begun to realize that sophisticated hacking efforts are manipulating their data," end quote. The U.S. campaign is said to have begun with implants in ISIS networks intended to gather information about commanders' online habits. After this battle space preparation, the campaign has moved to spoofing of those commanders' communications and disruption of ISIS messaging. Thus, U.S. cyber operators appear to be attacking not only command and control, but ISIS's arguably more dangerous and intractable ability to inspire and recruit. On the development of international norms for cyber warfare and on confidence building in cyberspace, observers are waiting for word on the outcome of talks between U.S. and Russian officials. Discussions began quietly in Geneva last week. At CINET's ITSEF 2016 last week, the CyberWire spoke with Canada's Minister of National Defense, the Honorable Harit Singh Sajjan, about using intelligence developed in cyberspace. He emphasized throughout that if you want intelligence to be actionable, you've got to deliver it to the users on the ground. You can read the discussion at thecyberwire.com/interviews. In industry news, SecureWorks held its long-anticipated initial public offering last week. The IPO is widely viewed as lackluster, according to Reuters. The stock closed at $14 in its first day of trading, which is where it had initially been priced. While a number of cybersecurity startups have been able to persuade investors to look beyond profit, which hasn't in many cases been there, and see the growth behind the operating losses, this seems to no longer be the case. Investors appear now to be looking for profit, and they're less likely to buy the story. The SecureWorks IPO seems to have reset the market, and analysts think the next round of unicorns may have to wait a bit before they head for the exit. In legal news, some observers doubt the FBI's gray hat explanation of how it accessed the San Bernardino jihadist iPhone. Fast Company reports sources who say the Bureau's allusions to a team of gray hats is in fact misdirection, covering work done by Cellebrite, the Israeli firm initially thought by most to have done the work. And finally, the U.S. Department of Justice has said it no longer needs Apple's help unlocking an iPhone in a New York drug trial, thank you very much. That help had been requested under the same All Writs Act authority used in the San Bernardino case. An individual, sources say, gave investigators the phone's passcode. Who individual is remains unclear. Perhaps a relative of occupant or current resident, or maybe even area man.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
Thank you.
Joining me is John Petrick, editor of the CyberWire. John, you spent last week at the CINET ITSEF conference in California. What do you have to report from there? What did you hear on the ground?
It was an interesting conference. There was a lot of talk about risk management, about managing cyber risk. People still are struggling with the difficulty of valuing their own assets. How valuable actually is your IP? How valuable are your networks? How valuable are your data? People were talking about the absence of actuarial data. That is, what does it actually cost people when there's a cyber attack? And there are no good surrogates for that, that people have tried to use things like stock price as a surrogate, and that seems actually to underestimate the cost of a cyber attack. So if there's somebody who has a good way of coming up with a surrogate for actuarial data, they would really have something people would be interested in.
And CINET is an innovation network. Was there any advice for innovators, advice for entrepreneurs?
There's a lot of interesting advice about selling it to the bigger enterprises. There's unanimous agreement that cold calling is a waste of time and that the warm introduction is everything. There were several people who pointed out that really nobody has the resources, no matter how big they are, to really effectively test and run down all of the products and solutions they're given in a lab. So a lot of the people who spoke emphasized the importance of trust, building a kind of personal familiarity with a vendor, because nobody really can test these things in the lab. What are some of the other things they said? It's a big market. The security market is estimated at $75 billion right now. They offered some do's and don'ts, and I'll give you the don'ts first. Don't come in bad-mouthing the competition. Don't come in with a pitch. Company XYZ got hacked last week. You could be next. That's not effective. Don't come in without, for example, knowing whether somebody else from your company has already been in there talking to the prospective customer. This apparently happens a lot.
All right.
Their time's valuable. They don't like it wasted. Don't deny that you have any competition. Everybody's got competitors. They may not do exactly what you're doing, but don't come in and say, well, we have no competition. This is absolutely unique. It's not, so don't make that claim. Above all, if you're coming in selling, don't make your need to meet a sales quota the customer's problem. It's not their problem, it's your problem. For the do's, they said, do your homework, know the company you're pitching to, know what their needs are, and be able to come in with them and give a good, clear technical story about what your product actually does. And be sure you're able to get quickly to your value proposition. They really want innovative ways of addressing the security of their partners, anything that can reduce third-party risk and that can reduce the risk of using APIs. That's something that a lot of people are going to be interested in.
John Petrick, editor of the CyberWire, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and Zero Trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.